What it is?
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome to another episode of Hard Factor, presented by the Barstool News Network. It is Tuesday, April 21st, 2020, and Wes is off today. He was knocked out by the weed Jeopardy that we played for High Times earlier on the day we recorded on 420. So some people can party, some people lose a step. It's just how life goes.
I remember specifically saying many times back to last week, do you guys want to do the show early on Monday since we're going to be doing the High Times thing in 3 p.m. We're going to get really high. And crickets from all around. And then Wes got too high to do the show. So,
well, and I specifically called out, you know, hey, well, you guys just shouldn't be soft. Just like, you know, man up.
Nope.
Do it's both.
You did say
all
that.
All good. All good. Saw this coming, but it's all good. We got this.
Well, regardless, the lockdown turn up tees charity for Meals on Wheels are back in stock in all sizes. They look great. And they go to a good cause. So go get those. Anything else before we get started?
No. Let's get into
it. I hope
it.
You guys had a good 420. Let's do 421, baby.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This story, guys, really sucks. So going to have to take it down several notches here. Some lunatic in Nova Scotia shot and killed, which is in Canada, shot and killed 18 people. It was the deadliest shooting in modern day history in Canada, and it happened this weekend. The bastard disguised himself as a police officer. He had a uniform that was described as an actual Royal Canadian Mounted Police uniform or an incredible fake. And he was driving in a car that was the exact make and model and looked like an RCMP vehicle. And what he did was he pulled over random motorists for several hours and then killed them in over a dozen locations in the town of Portapique on Cobequid Bay in Nova Scotia.
So. How many people are in that town? That's crazy. That's a lot of people.
It is. There were 16 different crime scenes. So I don't know, Will, but I mean, obviously, you know, several thousand. But he killed.
Right. But like if it's a smaller town, like that's like a lot of people, like almost everybody's going to know somebody that was.
It's got to be a smaller town. I mean, that's tough tundra out there.
Yeah, it's become more, you know, habitable in the past, you know, 50 years or so. But yeah, it started right before midnight when the police got called to a location for a firearm dispute and found a number of dead bodies and multiple structures on fire there. He burnt down buildings and houses and stuff. Shortly after that, calls started coming in from the road and it began a 12-hour manhunt that finally led to the monster's demise at a gas station. He was shot by police and I hope the first bullet hit him in the testicles.
All one spree, this guy.
Yeah, it was a rampage. He like killed people. They don't know what happened yet. If he like killed his family or whatever, then burnt down their house and his neighbors. But there were fires. There was like five different fires, not all of them. Some of them were spread miles apart at like these different houses. He just went on an absolute 12-hour rampage.
This is crazy. There's 100 people that live there year-round, and it swells to 250 people in the summer in that town.
Portapique. So that's like a high percentage of the population.
Pat, I don't want to misreport this. That's where it started. He was on highway. He was on highways and stuff. He might have.
Regardless.
Oh, okay, so moving from town.
Yeah, he probably moved
maybe
from town to town. So like, don't want to mention that. Yeah, all right, so we don't misreport this. The RCMP, the police force, lost Constable Heidi Stevenson, a 23-year veteran of the police. Heather O'Brien and Kristen Beaton, who were two frontline healthcare workers, were also killed along with 15 other people. It just seems like it's very random and so awful that, you know, really not a ton is known yet about what exactly happened because it's so random. And they don't really know why the psycho went on a rampage, but I'm sure more information will come out. I don't really care to learn anything about this loser, though. I'd rather just read, you know, nice stories about the victims, like the healthcare workers and their lives and what they did and honor the dead rather than hear anything about this piece of shit, to be honest. But The way
that sounds like a real loser, whoever he was.
Yeah, I'm sure that a lot of information will come out about him, though.
Get out of here, bro.
Yeah, what an absolute monster. There's going to be an online vigil this Friday to honor the deceased that will be attended by Prime Minister Trudeau. And I think I can say with confidence we are all, and I mean by all, like the world is really heartbroken for Canada and sending our thoughts and prayers. It's a truly senseless one at a tough time where people can't necessarily send off their loved ones and come together in person to mourn. So it's tough. And fuck people that kill other people.
Yeah, did I don't know if you researched anything on the story of how often mass shootings happen in Canada. I mean, I know you said this is the deadliest in Canada, which is, I mean, it's obviously something that's been ravaging our country for the last 20 years or so, but it's, you know, fucking crazy. Now it's spreading. I don't know.
Well, they got it everywhere. I mean, there was that one that was in, like, where was it? Like, Norway, where it was, like, 70.
Kill the kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like it's, you know, any one... Like, certainly America's got the most volume.
There's crazy people everywhere.
Yeah. Yep. You got to watch out. All right. Well, that was a sad one indeed. And thoughts and prayers to everybody affected by that. Tragic. But let's move it on to a different story. One that I'm calling The South Will Rise Again.
Uh-oh.
And,
I've heard that before.
Uh-huh. Well, may not be the same way you're thinking. Specifically, I'm talking about the South will go back to work faster than anybody else. Does that clear it up for you?
Yeah, I got it.
I wish, very different. Why didn't you just say that?
Well,
not as cool as a title,
like,
Mark.
I think the South will rise again is catchy. That's like, gets your attention, you know? People hear it. They have connotations. The governors in Georgia, Tennessee, and South Carolina have announced plans to ease their coronavirus lockdowns. And Governor Brian Kemp, announced on Monday that he's going to allow some non-essential businesses to start reopening on Friday, like gyms and other stuff like that. Uh-huh. That's this Friday, the 24th of April. And even more on Monday, that includes movie theaters and restaurants if they meet the guidelines to be released later this week. Also, this Friday includes bowling alleys, which is crazy. So, A couple lanes apart, right?
That's easy to keep people apart if you do.
If you're bowling with fucking gloves on.
Yeah, the finger holes and stuff. Yeah,
the finger holes are like coronavirus houses. That's where they live.
True.
Finger holes specifically. Yeah, and then just like a bowling alley is a place where everybody's breathing heavy. The floor is
not
traversed
a lot of hand
by
washing.
Many
bowling
people.
Alleys. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. That one was surprising for this week. Anyways, the state's shelter-in-place order will remain active until April 30th. But gyms, bowling alleys, salons, blah, 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 they're going to start to reopen as soon as this Friday. Other movie theaters, restaurants opening on Monday. The medically fragile are encouraged to stay home until May 13th, but that's really it. So basically, Georgia's kind of doing a full, like, reopen with guidelines.
How does this stack this against the phases?
Yeah, do they skip a few phases?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, the phases are guidelines too. We'll get to the phases in a little bit. But Tennessee, this is the next day after Georgia. Governor Bill Lee announced on Monday that he will not be extending the state's stay-at-home order past April 30th, and that businesses will be permitted to start reopening next week. So Tennessee also basically the same thing as Georgia. Some cities could have tighter restrictions, but basically starting to reopen next week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they're over it.
And South Carolina, Henry McMaster, the governor there, said on Monday that retail shopping facilities will start reopening in South Carolina. But that's pretty much it. South Carolina's not going as far as Georgia and Tennessee.
They said gyms, Will, did they mean Planet Fitness is included?
Yeah, I'm sure. Every gym. Yeah, any place. I mean, they want businesses to reopen. And like Pat, you asked earlier, the CDC phased opening protocols to three phases. Those are suggestions, not mandates. So, mm-hmm. The federal program to slow the spread ends at the end of April. That's the end of the, 45 days to slow the spread or whatever. So you may see more than just these three states starting to reopen stuff sooner because nothing's standing in the ways of the governors. Unless, of course,
this is where shit's gonna get really fucked up. Yeah. This is gonna get fucked up because if we're not all on the same page here, it ain't gonna work out. I'm not saying don't reopen. I'm saying let's get a plan together. Let's maybe the phases.
I think the plan is here is they may have spikes and that may scare the shit out of other people. So that's probably the plan of a lot of governors, is to say, hey, well, I'll let Kemp walk into that hornet's nest. If
they're guinea pigs, they're guinea pigging it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to keep our eyes on it. Hopefully they don't have a lot of issues. And hopefully other places can reopen. But
right, exactly. Yeah, that, yeah, exactly.
That's what's dangerous about...
I'm not going to say how I truly feel about it.
No, I mean, that's what's dangerous about not being on the same page. Look, you know, right, like Wisconsin, places that are in the Midwest that are rural, places that are in the South that are rural, there's going to be an easier path for them to get back to normal because there's less social interaction. There's less person-to-person contact. But we all need to be on the same page, because if there's a fucking spike somewhere and then someone's traveling from a hot zone to another hot zone, like, it's going to just spread this thing.
It could, but you can keep it largely. We're a big enough country where you can see that you can localize it based on what we've done so far. So for reference, the latest projection from the University of Washington suggests that these states in particular, Tennessee, Georgia, and South Carolina, they should stay socially distanced until at least June 1st on those projections, which is the latest band of all states because of where they are in the outbreak right now. Even though that model is also a good model that says overall the U.S. projects about 60,000 total deaths. But Brian Kemp doesn't give a shit either way. He's driving his F-250 straight through regardless, reopening the state of Georgia. Tennessee is doing the same. Let's just hope for the sake of the people of both of those great states that those gambles pay off and don't cause catastrophic outbreaks, like we're saying.
Agreed. That's all you can do at this point.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Kemp was the guy who his ad was like something about his daughter, right? That was him.
Yeah, like he would shoot his some a terrorist or something that would date
his
daughter.
Trying to sleep with his daughter. It was confusing.
Yeah, so I think it was like that. Yeah.
I mean, I'd shoot a terrorist that's trying to sleep with my daughter too, guys. U.S. oil prices fell below $0 a barrel yesterday, and for those of you guys keeping score at home, that's a record low. Current price.
That's a cheap barrel.
Oh yeah, they're paying you to take them. Current price of a barrel of oil in terms of futures trading is more similar to my bank account than it's ever been before, or a pack of Camel Blues combined with a Wells Fargo overdraft fee coming in at -$37.63.
There you go. I like to say I can afford 100 barrels.
Yeah, because then, yep, I get it. Guys, that's the lowest price oil has been since NYMEX, N-Y-M-E-X, the futures trading deal that trades oil. I don't know shit about this. Since they opened futures trading in 83, so not good.
Are you going to explain like why it is this way?
I will do that, Mark.
Okay.
On Monday,
I was going to help you out if you needed it.
On Monday night at his Corona conference, Trump put a positive spin on things, saying, "This is a great time to buy oil. We get it for the right price."
Yeah.
Nobody's ever heard of negative oil before. So there's something.
Nobody's heard of that before.
Where are you going to put it?
Well, he went on to say that the U.S. will buy 75 million barrels of oil for reserve, capping out our reserves. I'm volunteering my backyard. It's like a third of an acre. I think I could probably put, I don't know, Mark, 300 barrels at -$37.
I don't think the HOA would be okay with you stockpiling.
Are we getting paid to take these barrels?
Yeah, yes. It's like fostering a barrel.
Yes, it's only for like today, Will, because the futures have a specific date of the month they end on, like each month. So like today was the day it ended, right? So next week the oil will probably go back up to positive, or tomorrow or whenever. And then
so the U.S. was just shoveling in barrels of oil for free.
People made these decisions in like December, like they bet on futures on oils and stuff. These stock exchange things are happening months in advance, and then on the day of collection, it's supply versus demand. No one's using oil, so the stockpiles aren't going down. The people that actually buy oil for cheap and stockpile it, they don't have any room to stockpile anymore because no one's actually fucking putting oil in their car. So the people that would buy the oil off you for cheap don't have anywhere to put it.
Yeah, what are we gonna do with this oil?
So they have to buy it for negative because the people are like, well, I made an exchange betting on oil, but I don't physically store.
So the
oil.
U.S. military is probably raking up all this cheap
oil. Who knows where this fucking oil is going? But it's not going.
Somebody like
it's
that.
Not going where it normally goes. So people that normally buy it physically can't buy it anymore, and they're like, look, you made this decision, we'll buy it off your hands.
It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah,
I think negative. The June futures number right now is like $22 a barrel. So. It's coming back up.
It'll go back up, but today was like the worst day in the history of oil.
Right, and the reason was, guys, the plunge. It was fueled by a collective realization that crude oil output cuts that President Trump was able to negotiate with OPEC and Russia just weren't enough to set off the loss in demand for oil. However, guys, I do want to point out that we would be way more fucked if Trump hadn't been able to negotiate the deal he did with Russia and these other countries to cut back on production. These are with the countries we pretend to be friends with because they have the equivalent of a pool in their backyard. He did the best he could. Probably ended up saving a massive portion of our economy and what he did do, but it just wasn't enough.
You know what they should do? The government's already getting a stake in American Airlines because they're bailing them out. So then should scoop up all this free oil and then use it on their new airlines. Boom. Tax revenue.
Yeah, you're just asking for a big explosion, though. When you
should run for office. I like that idea. Well,
have you guys seen the gas prices? It was like $1.28 by my house today. It's pretty.
That's
good.
I gotta see you. I haven't gone to the gas station yet, but I got you.
For a gallon, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Fill up your cars and don't drive anywhere. All right, guys, let's head on back to the quarantine safari. Guess what, guys? Animals are still doing fine. They are literally jumping for joy, like in the South Australian capital of Adelaide, which is a population of 1.2 million, where kangaroos have been spotted bouncing through deserted streets in the city center. So there's da-doon, da-doon, da-doon right through the fucking city center in the capital.
Yeah, those videos are cool.
Yeah, so that's unusual. In Phuket, Thailand, the number of turtle nests on the beaches has reached a 20-year high because drunk tourists aren't pissing on them and chucking bottles at them. Hey, you think I can hit that turtle nest? I'm drunk enough to try. Man, I love Phuket, right? So they're not doing that anymore.
You know, go back to the kangaroos, though. Yeah. If you were in Adelaide, Australia, you could bet on the kangaroos bouncing. Like, if you had kangaroos bouncing past your window,
you could do point A to point B. You think in one hop he can get from, like,
how many hops to the end of the street?
Stop sign to, like, a fire hydrant or whatever? Yeah, that would be cool.
This kangaroo got 15 hops. How many hops is it going to take the next kangaroo to get the same block?
How long does it take?
You think you could hold one of them down long enough to put a jersey on him?
No, you'd get absolutely punched, kicked. You'd get your
ass also,
kicked by a kangaroo.
You know, lockdown, turn up. You're not allowed to go.
Right.
You'd be breaking. You know, you can't breathe into you can't breathe into a kangaroo's face.
Are
right
you
now.
Sure? Even if it's to put a competitive jersey on him.
Pretty sure kangaroos are pretty well protected over there, Pat.
Yeah, it's
true. Prides of lions are having a time at Kruger National Park in South Africa. Yeah, they're just sleeping in the streets and walking side by side down the street in horrifying fashion. Right out on the roads, right outside the common rest area at Kruger National Park. So when Kruger reopens, it's going to be like a scene from the movie The Hangover, where you go to take a piss in the public restroom and there's a lion in the bathroom.
No, that means it's going to be the best fucking time to go on a safari ever. So, like, if you've always wanted to go on a safari, right after this shit ends is probably the best time.
There's a video of, like, 16 lions walking side by side. They would kill you in the car.
Yeah, I'd like to go on a safari.
There's no Jeep truck that I would be in. No tank. No,
that's
not even a tank.
Great idea. What does it cost, Will?
No
your
idea.
Life,
it's
your
very
life,
expensive.
Pat, it costs your life.
You have to fly to wherever. Kenya is a good one to go.
My stimulus check cover. That's
no. Okay. It'll cost your life.
It'll get you should look into it.
Pat, you can get killed right here at Yellowstone National Park because not to be outdone, the bears are taking over popular walking trails. So good luck, person with headphones in Yellowstone National Park 3 years from now that will have head swiped off body from behind. Should be fun to go back to the parks. What else? Oh, a groundhog sat outside a Philadelphia woman's home on her patio, like back patio, and just ate a piece of pizza while standing on its hind legs and staring at the dogs like
taunting
them.
That video is great.
Yeah, it's amazing. It was just like, I guess no one's coming outside today, huh? Didn't think so. Let me just eat this pizza in your face. And lastly, if you want to bring the safari to yourself and you aren't in Philadelphia, Wales, Australia, South Africa, near Yellowstone, in Italy, or really anywhere, you can by hiring Mambo, the miniature donkey, to Zoom bomb your meeting for just $50. That's right. Peace and Peas Farm in North Carolina will rent Mambo and some of his farm friends to Zoom bomb your meeting. In case human dicks weren't good enough, you can now get literal donkey dicks in your Zoom bombs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet the people that are frequenting that service are not getting out of it what the people who own Mambo wanted to give. You know what I mean?
No. Look, oh, it's a cute donkey.
It's a, I bet it's a bunch of fetish guys.
Yeah.
Dialing Mambo up. And
yeah,
then
that's
trying to beat off as fast as they can before they get Mambo out of that Zoom meeting.
He's Mambo's here.
Go.
They're already halfway ready.
They're asking Mambo to wear certain things.
Yeah.
Mambo is a real crapshoot. Also,
can you put stockings on that donkey?
Yeah. Our boy PFitz11B on Instagram, he sent in, he said, there's an article about how you can watch live streams of zoos feeding penguins and other animals now. Man. So if you want to, you know, if you want
to. Feeding penguins to what?
Well, if that's
No,
that's,
no, like feeding fish to
that's
know, zoos.
That's the thing, Pat. If you're
they can live, they zoos live stream like feedings and stuff.
If you're
now,
into the
so
macabre, you can
that.
Go to that German zoo where they're feeding actual penguins to other animals.
Right.
Yeah.
That too. Good point. All right. Well, that animal update was brought to you by Predict It, the stock market of politics. And I know we've been hammering this market a little bit, but I got to go back, boys. VP. Are you with me?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vice president, that is. Vice president pick for the Democratic Party. And I got to say, you know, I've been telling you guys, Liz Warren and Michelle Obama. And lo and behold, what's this headline today? We have from KO something A, CBS Pittsburgh. It says, I'd take her in a heartbeat. Joe Biden says he would pick Michelle Obama to be his vice president.
Oh.
So he said that on 420.
What's
everybody.
She at? What is she at?
What's right now she's around at like 9 cents.
9 cents. Yeah, 9 cents. But we still have Liz Warren. She's around 15, I think, right now. Those are great. Those are great, great turnarounds right there. We hit Klobuchar is still the favorite. Harris is the favorite with Klobuchar in second, both around 30 cents.
Yeah.
Biden
said, I'd take her in a heartbeat. And then someone whispered in his ear, Joe, he finally endorsed you. And he goes, oh, fuck her then.
Yeah, right.
No. He also said, he followed it up with, I don't think she wants to be back in the White House.
I don't think she wants to step in the pile of shit that is Joe Biden's campaign, is really the situation.
I don't know about that. Because, you know, whoever he picks as VP, good odds they could become president pretty quick.
Good call, an insurance play.
Yeah, I would be quite interested if I was ever interested in any VP role ever. So go to predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20 to get your first $20 matched on us and get in on this action. I think that we're leading you towards profitable waters.
There you nice. Go. Now you just got a drink. All right, guys, Japan has always edged out the U.S. when it comes to things like electronics and accepting people who wear head and face coverings as part of their spiritual beliefs. Ninjas. And it seems they've beat us in yet another category, and that is the support of their sex workers. See, Japan has unleashed a Godzilla of a stimulus plan to crush the proverbial Mothra that is coronavirus-related economic hardships. And the massive 108 trillion yen package is inclusive of modern-day geishas and all forms of Japanese prostitutes. Well, not all forms, but most forms of Japanese prostitutes.
Yeah, you know, like, let he who live in a house that doesn't ever masturbate to internet porn throw the first stone. And if you're going to masturbate to internet porn, you should goddamn well support those people.
That's true. That's absolutely right? True. We're talking about real life prosties here, though, man. We're not talking about cam girls. We're not talking about porn performers. We're talking about ladies that'll get down and dirty with you for a couple yen. And initially, Japanese officials tried to fuck these sex workers and leave them out of the plan.
No,
but after a backlash online, they started thinking about the future and they changed course. However, the amended rules only cover sex workers who are in the legal part of the industry, guys. See, in Japan, full-on intercourse for money, illegal. But if you're a person that respects the law, that doesn't mean that you have to sit on the sidelines on your next trip to Japan. There are many legal ways to reach orgasm with someone
who's... What are we talking here?
Pretending to be indeed
drunk.
Yeah, that's part of it. Well, for example, guys, there is a there's the, quote, delivery health industry, which refers to escorts who give you the girlfriend experience but stop just short of intercourse, They should call it the religious high school girlfriend experience.
That sounds like a great use of money. Mm-hmm. How often do those guys go off and kill somebody after one of those things?
It's an expensive dry hump.
Experience. Yeah, it's a frustrating experience.
Kidding me?
That's what the ninjas have to go through.
I'm going to let you dry hump me so hard.
Ninja training.
That's definitely ninja training.
I hope you're up for a dry hump tonight. Also, guys, there is the legal fashion health industry, quote unquote, which offers handies and blowies in massage parlors. Totally legal.
That's pretty far. That's going
that
pretty
seems
far.
Pretty
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
What, yeah.
That's about as far as you can go.
Yep, I know. What's next? What's left?
The,
right?
The only thing they don't allow.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's Japanese sex. Mark, what's going on?
Good for them. I mean, like I said, take care of your sex workers, people. Hey, guys, who's taking care of your... Hey, guys, who says taking care of yourself needs to be hard? It doesn't.
Dicks. Yeah. Real jerks say that.
This is exactly.
My
this
body is, as evidence.
Well, okay, fair enough. But what's great about CBD, Pat, is that it helps you feel better without making drastic changes to your routine. So you can still be a slob. You just got to, you know, do one small thing here.
Perfect.
CBD helps me sleep easier. It makes me feel calm. And unless you're living under a rock right now, you know it helps, you know, everyone feel less sore if they're sore. So I'm not a big fan of ingesting my CBD via dropper. It's weird and tastes disgusting. I feel like I'm in a lab or something. But luckily for me, Caliper exists, and it is a much better way to consume CBD. See, Caliper CBD comes in a powder form in a little packet, and it's completely tasteless and mixes easily in any food or drink. I'm talking really easily. No weird taste, no oily residue or mouthfeel. It's exactly precisely 20 milligrams in each packet of Caliper CBD. Never question how much CBD you're going to take. I just pop mine in a glass of water right before or right after I brush my teeth for bed at nighttime, and boom, I say, I'll be seeing you soon with a smile on my face, sheep. And guess what?
So it helps you sleep better.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That's the main, I mean, I'll take it any time of day, but if you give me one packet a day, what time would I take it? Right before bed is when I like to take it. And guess what? It's clinically proven that it absorbs 450% more CBD through this method with Caliper CBD powder compared to tinctures. So that's 450% more, and it's 4.5
pounds. You gotta wonder why these tincture people are even trying at this point.
I don't know.
Caliper.
Like, every time you like show someone a tincture, they're like, "What the hell's wrong with you?" It's amazing. This CBD powder, it's quick acting, efficient, tasteless, effortless. Unlike some products out there, Caliper is completely THC free. All the goodness of CBD with no high, all natural, non-GMO ingredients, no fillers, no added chemicals or artificial flavors. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code FACTOR at trycaliper.com/factor. Caliper is Caliper. You can try Caliper CBD risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, they'll give you a full refund, but you will love it. That's trycaliper.com/factor. Don't forget promo code FACTOR for 20% off your first order.
Go get it. It's great stuff. All right. Now, let's move on to the saga of the skate park in California. Shout out to Jack Mack, who blogged this, and Patricia, who sent it in to us earlier as a story. This, my friends, is an example of how the public will fuck with you if you're being a dick as a government, which is kind of like how America started in general with that dick, King George. And then America fucked with him.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't be taxing us without us being represented. You know what I mean?
That's right. Exactly.
Before your goddamn tea in the fucking...
Don't step...
And I don't want to quarter your soldiers.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Don't step on the snake, bro. All right. So this Venice Beach, Los Angeles, California story is somewhat similar. They brought in a bunch of bulldozers, the city of L.A., to push sand from the beach into the skate park right adjacent to the beach.
This is the Venice Beach skate park. Holy shit.
The Venice Beach skate park. Yeah. So that the kids and whoever, maybe not kids, whatever, skaters couldn't skate in there anymore during the lockdown, which pretty harsh move. So close to 420, brah. Why don't you step off, you bunch of narcs?
They did
narcs
this right
on the Venice Beach.
They did this right before 420.
Yeah. It was last week. Yeah.
That was a message.
Well, yeah, how did that affect the drum circles? Do we know?
I would imagine those were pretty heavy, hot and heavy on Monday.
I imagine the rhythm was a little bit quicker and louder
Oh,
okay. A little bit angrier.
Yeah. Well, anyways, didn't even wait till Monday, Pat. The day before 420, you fast forward to Sunday, an American hero slash local dirt biker, Connor Erickson, and some of his boys, they hit the park with some mini dirt bikes and shredded the park in an acceptably socially distanced manner. Like two guys on mini bikes just like biking all over the skate park, even though it had sand in it.
Wait, so they filled the, sounds like they filled the skate park, which obviously is usually like, you know, like think a pool, right? It's inverted. So
usually all concrete, so but it was filled in, with sand.
Yeah. So then they turned it into an above ground dirt bike park.
Yes, exactly. So they used mini dirt bikes and just biked on the sand and skate.
They
and
built
the
ramps above
park.
Ground with dirt. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for them. Yeah.
So basically, you know, that's the public fucking with L.A. in that situation. Also in California, protesters are blasting the song Born in the USA as the new anthem of why the government needs to reopen everything. And that's all I saw. It was just trending on Twitter, and I thought I'd bring it up because it's a badass song. So
it is a badass song. So that means if you blast it, does that mean you're pro reopening, or can you just like
I thought it, you could just like it, but at those rallies, it's a reopening, even though it's about Vietnam. So it doesn't have anything to do with reopening the economy. But
yeah, commonly misused song.
Yeah.
All the time it's misused.
Yeah. People don't really listen to the lyrics of that song.
Also, whenever you meet someone that doesn't like Bruce Springsteen and you ask them why, they're like, I don't know, man, I don't like his sound. I'm like, what sound? And they're like, you know, like Born in the USA and shit. And it's like, yeah,
that's
bro,
a great song, though.
That was his most poppy fucking song on his most fucking poppy album. Give the catalog a little bit of attention, you'll fall in love.
I'm not a big, he's great, but I'm not a big fan of how long he takes between songs. His stage banter is a little obnoxious, if you ask me.
Yeah.
What are you referencing?
He tells his fucking life story between every song. Play the hits. Play
was
the hits.
Broadway
Bruce.
Show that you observe?
The guy, go to YouTube. It's like a 17-minute song because he plays a 4-minute song. And he's like,
I wrote this one out on the road in the middle of two towns.
Growing up on the streets by the train tracks in Jersey. And just like, okay, we get it. You're from New Jersey or whatever. And you're like, you have some life experience. We don't care. Just play the hits.
Well, okay. Well, in the meantime, other people were protesting as well, like in Denver, Colorado, where the Reopen America protesters, who were probably playing Born in the USA, were counter-protested by local health officials or local health workers, nurses and shit, who are blaming the protesters for prolonging the lockdown. And somehow, despite all of this, the West Coast, including those states that we just talked about, minus the weirdos in Arizona and Utah, who for some reason are not supposed to unlock till much later, is on track to start opening sooner than most places by mid-May. So even though the West Coast has got all this shenanigans going on,
that's
got to
be like
on track to open
getting soon. Caught cheating, like protesting and like rounding a corner and then seeing like a nurse in scrubs staring at you with a disapproving look on her face.
Yeah, that's tough.
I think at this point people just don't even care. They're like, if you're that like caught up in this like should it open or should it not this week or next week shit, and you're that caught up in it, you're willing to go out and protest on either side. You just don't even care. You don't care.
It sucks. Like I was hoping that something like this would bring everyone together, but it seems like there's still
But it has. It's only like a 1% of the population protesting on either side.
True. The majority of people are, you know, following
or less
and supportive of, you know, healthcare workers and grocery store workers. And then, you know, look, but the commercials are annoying me. But I mean, for the most part, I thought it was going to be 100% like, you know, common enemy, like 9/11. We're all Americans. We all team up. But now it's like, I have a small business and I'm going to go out no matter what.
It's not a big enough tragedy at this point for it to be that way. I think
It saddens me. I see it from all sides. I get it, but it's sad that people are being nasty to each other.
Well, hopefully it doesn't ever become a big enough tragedy for it to be something that would actually unify everybody in that way.
Well, that's a good point. Well, you just blew my mind a little bit.
I don't like seeing you sad, Mark.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, guys. One of the best things coming out of this corona era, other than no pants, is that it's forcing anti-vaxxers to come to terms with just how fucking stupid their philosophy on medicine is, as they start to realize that the only way we can get back to normal 100% is through the V word. That's right, a vaccine. Sorry, assholes.
Yeah, vaccines.
Aha, yeah.
They look pretty damn good right now.
Yeah, catch 22.
Bet you'd take the shot now, huh?
Yeah.
Reports of anti-vaxxers softening on their unfounded and ignorant ideas have been significantly more frequent in recent weeks. And according to a poll conducted by the Vaccine Confidence Project, the trend seems to be real. But Corona hasn't convinced all these idiots that in addition to being rigorously tested and deemed safe before reaching market, using cutting-edge science in the form of vaccinations are a good idea. They're not all sure. Number one ranked tennis asshole, Novak Djokovic, said
Djokovic. Djokovic, the Joker.
His name should only be written out phonetically. Djokovic, I don't watch tennis, said he'd be opposed to compulsory vaccination if it was required for him to return to the sport. He says no. He doesn't like people telling him what to do.
Djokovic says, well, Djokovic, to be fair, like, he's got one arm that's like comically bigger than the other arm. Isn't that the guy?
It's his tennis arm.
Is that like Philippoussis or somebody like that?
No. Novak Djokovic, I think... He either has the second or third most titles of all time behind Nadal.
Right,
Federer.
My body is superior. I'm not going to be susceptible.
COVID would bounce right off his body.
That's what he's saying.
It has no chance in his body. Yeah,
he's just towing his anti-vaxxer rhetoric continually, and he's doing it to the public. Good for you, Djokovic.
Yeah.
Fucking asshole is what he is. But aren't all tennis players? Unfortunately for us good citizens, the fastest vaccine has ever been developed is 4 years. But there may be testing conducted at stages that may have been previously considered to be unethical, considering what's at stake, right? So the vaccine...
Time to throw some ethics out the window here.
Right.
Well, they've already started live trials in America.
Well, right.
Some vaccines.
I personally would like to nominate the anti-vaxxer community to lead those early trials.
Oh.
I was going to say some homeless. That was a little darker. But yeah.
Man.
Well, we covered a few weeks ago. They had already come up with some trial vaccines. And there's, I forget which state. I think Washington State is where they're doing the trials. And there are already humans who have signed up in America. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I bet a lot more people will sign up.
I'm just going to fucking rue the day when
Let's fast track it.
I hope they live stream them getting their vaxes. I would masturbate to that.
Anti-vaxxers
getting their first vax. Oh, bro. It's like chocolate cake.
Fair enough. You done with that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You should set up some kind of like a saw
stream
situation.
Yeah.
Where you can...
Oh, yeah. Like voyeur style too? It'd be a whole genre.
Yeah.
Have the confetti fall out and throw like a party, like, congratulations. You went against everything you believe in. You
got a crew out and gives them a big check.
Yeah. All right, guys. You're familiar with what's been going on with the bailout or stimulus money for small businesses, right? We've covered it on this show as recently as yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The $350 billion that just poof, disappeared.
Gone.
In like a week. And now the small businesses are still really hurting. So they're trying to get another package out like this week or as soon as possible.
It was like mac and cheese at Thanksgiving dinner. First to go. Yeah,
gone. Well, there have been some protests about how that first $350 billion that just disappeared was allocated. Because you see, a lot of money went to big chain restaurants and hotels. And people were pissed about that online, surprisingly. Because it's usually... such a nice place online. It's like meditation scrolling through Twitter sometimes. Well, Shake Shack and Shake Shack CEO Randy Garuti and Chairman Danny Meyer decided that they'd seen enough of the hate online, and they decided they put their heads together and saw that they were doing fine. So they gave $10 million back that they were given by the government back to the government and asked that it be used in another round of relief for small businesses. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, Shake Shack.
Love that.
Go ahead, Will.
So Shake Shack is just thriving.
Yes, exactly. Apparently they have 100 million cash on hand, and they say they can raise at least 75 million by selling shares to investors. So that's a lot. They're fine. They did furlough or lay off over 1,000 employees, so there's that. But I think I know what's going on here.
Huh?
Yeah, I think I know what's going on here, though. with places like Shake Shack. Other than the fact that the executives are doing the right thing here, I guess, you know, and trying to give money to small businesses, although they probably could have just given it to small businesses. And that is that food is still going out the door of major chains that people are familiar with and comfortable with. Easy, cheap, fast food and delicious fatty foods, the food's still flying off the shelf because people, you know, still don't know how to cook like myself, and people don't like going to the grocery store, especially now because it's like going to the seventh circle of hell. So these chains that everyone's familiar with, they're getting their products sold to go. They're selling as much food and shit, but they probably have less overhead now because they don't need to run the dining halls and they don't need to staff the dining halls. They just need to open a kitchen.
The grocery store.
To go runners.
To back your point there, the grocery store, I went there today, and I mean, wow. Just like, it is definitely the place. If you're going to catch it anywhere,
it's horrible.
That's the place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nonstop people because it's the only place open. So it's just like nonstop traffic.
It's really bad. Sucks for the workers there, but it's not fun to go there. And people are eating as much or more than they were before quarantine, so the food's still getting sold. Like I said, it's just all to go. And where are you gonna go? I know Shake Shack's got
my
favorite burger and it's cheap, so that people are going to these fucking cheap chains instead of, you know, maybe your local, maybe go buy local,
right? Drive-through has been non-stop, probably.
Drive-throughs, anything with a drive-through has been fucking slaying. So guys, buy from your local businesses. There's still local restaurants that aren't chains.
None of them have a drive-through, man.
But you can still get them to go. They do curbside.
That's a good point, Pat. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right.
That's it.
We're taking it over to greener pastures, everybody. Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. You tell me at the end. We're going back to Space Mountain. In interstellar news, the Milky Way galaxy, our home galaxy, is flinging stars to the outer halo faster than usual recently. And scientists suggests that this has something to do with something called supernova feedback, which is, I guess, stars exploding and then that doing something. But we all know that it's caused by the 5G Tesla Starlink satellites that are shrinking all of our testicles right off the entire human species, paving the way for the large brain, big dicked aliens that are blasting us with FRBs. And that's really what's going on in the Milky Way galaxy.
Thank you for coming around to the fact that Elon's a space alien, a robot.
The evidence, evidence is mounting.
Also for saying that about your balls, because I was worried about my balls, which are getting smaller.
Elon Musk reveals that he's from a race of huge dicked, big heads, tiny testicled aliens. Our one problem is these tiny testicles. We've been so jealous.
Yeah, they
so
just shoot been one sperm out of their big old dicks.
They've been terraforming us already, and it's working.
It's a
telescopes in Namibia, Africa, are being used to study black holes. And I, for one, would like to go on record right now and say that all black hole research should be switched to underwater research immediately, since aliens already have bases underwater on Earth. So ask yourself, what are we all more likely to die from? A black hole attacking the planet, or aliens coming up from the seas to kill us in our sleep?
Yeah, I mean, the sea. How do we not know what's at the bottom of the seas? I don't get it.
So the seas, I think they need to flip that. The black hole is like the sea of the sky. You don't need to learn about that before you know about the sea of your own Earth.
It's like
when you're thinking about cooking a meal and you're looking at what you got in the fridge, but you got a big fucking plate of leftovers from last night in the fridge. Finish that first.
Yep.
Finish the leftovers first. It's wasteful before you fucking go on making a new meal in the space.
To a lesser extent, it's like moving into a neighborhood with young children and not checking to see how many pedophiles live in your neighborhood. You know what I mean? Yeah, the ocean's on your home turf. Maybe do a little
research.
It's
exactly like that.
It's just that on a smaller scale. Why don't we know
about that? Exactly like
that. Right.
Yeah, finally, there's a comet passing by the globe that's the first known one to not come from our own solar system that we're tracking. And guess what? The amount of carbon monoxide is thought to be between 9 and 26 times greater than the average comet in our solar system. And that's poisonous gas, buddy. Stuff that kills humans.
Uh-oh.
So the comet's name is 2L Borisov. And it's a nice little reminder that we don't know shit about anything at all that's in space, even if it's right next to us, right outside of our own solar system, and it's just super poisonous and could come. And imagine if we just hooked that up to our garage, closed the garage door on Earth with that thing inside, yes. We're all dead. Okay?
I had some Borisov tonight. I had some nachos earlier. Some mm-hmm. poisonous gas.
You doing okay, Will? Why are you talking about suicide with this comet?
I'm just saying this thing is chock full of carbon monoxide. It's zooming past us. We don't know where it's from. We don't know where it's going. We don't even know if it's really a rock. It's just covered in poisonous gas, flying straight past the Earth. And maybe we'll see it again.
It's like chemtrailing us.
Yeah, hopefully we never see it again, but maybe we see it again when it comes back to kill us. So
I've got a carbon monoxide detector in my house. I'm not worried about this.
Okay, just saying, space, we have no control. No control.
Agreed.
You think coronavirus is bad. Space is bad.
Yeah, it's not great.
That's true.
There's some bad stuff out there for sure. Yeah.
Can't argue with that. Guys, there's a new movement of people who are exploring the use of mushrooms as a renewable building material. Yeah, it's fun, right?
Idiots.
Yeah, nope. I didn't say it, Mark.
Yeah.
These mushroom advocates are hoping that mushrooms can one day be used for everything from household insulation to packing materials or as an alternative to styrofoam or plastics and can even be used as furniture. Yet again, an idea first pioneered by the fucking Japanese in the Mario series. They beat us every time. But yeah, people are...
Yes.
Have they ever smelled or touched mushrooms before?
Apparently not, because these guys are using this shit for everything.
Okay.
And yeah, one enterprising mushroom enthusiast and community college student, go figure, recently fashioned a 100-pound canoe made entirely of a gigantic mushroom.
Yeah, and and then he drowned.
That's a she. That's right. 28-year-old Katie Ayers, the mushroom mastermind, said of her creation, quote, "I love to fish, and I always wanted a boat, so why not just grow it? Cool." Katie spent around five
mushroom that was the size of a boat.
Yep, yeah. 100%.
I hope there aren't any fish around or anything that will just eat your way through
eat
your
the
boat.
Mushroom.
Just eat yeah, your yeah. boat, just holes in your boat.
There are pros and there are cons, guys.
She built a boat that looks like a dolphin, and it got eaten by a shark, as did she.
She's mostly been sticking to lakes.
It's literally like putting a fucking appetizer in the water for a crocodile.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like a
so
mushroom,
dumb.
A stuffed mushroom yeah, yeah. cap.
It's like
but it's just
outback.
Human stuff. Yeah,
blooming mushroom.
Guys, Katie spent around $500 on the project, or the cost of a store-bought canoe when everything was said and done.
Yeah, or twice the price of one on Craigslist. Yeah,
and it only took 3 weeks. Unlike other regular dead canoes, Katie's canoe is literally alive, and it fruits every time they take it out on the water. So it just grows more fucking mushrooms.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, that's not all, guys. It also smells like fucking mushrooms. So there's that. Where do I sign up? Anyway, that's that story.
And it's covered in mushroom slime.
One quick note before. You should see this lady in her fucking mushroom
boat.
You
want to keep that boat out? You want to keep the goddamn mushroom boat outside, please? It just smells terrible.
She comes into class at community college like, what the fuck is that smell? How does it smell like old vagina?
She's like, it's a bunch of millionaires docking up their boats and there's a mushroom boat stinking up the place.
Covered in slugs.
Yeah.
Just doing fucking Super Mario cosplay.
Get the fuck out of here.
Anyway, guys, one quick note before we go. At the time of this taping, the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, is in, quote, grave danger after a surgery that didn't seem to go as planned. So when you're hearing this, the leader of North Korea might be dead. We'll see. It seemed pretty serious. That's going to do it for Hard Factor. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hey, yesterday we did a weed Jeopardy for High Times. When we first did it, it was exclusive on High Times' website. It's now been released on our YTube, so if you want to check that out, go ahead.
Hard Factor News YouTube. Subscribe.
Yeah, baby. And if you don't do that already.
It's awesome YouTubes.
Every show we do every day, it has a video component. You can look at our dumb, ugly faces. And watch us get fatter or skinnier, depending on what the season is.
Usually fatter. Almost every season.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. We are very consistent in that. Give us a follow.
But it's got like way more than just the podcast pack, because it's got like full length interviews. Like the McAfee interview is actually like 70 minutes.
Every live stream
we do, every like full interview we do, some unique clip downs that you might not see if you don't have Twitter, Instagram, and everything else. So there's a ton of shit on our YouTube.
It's about as fun as a mushroom canoe.
Yeah.
No, it's the opposite of that. It's better. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Go give us a follow if you can. We're going to be reading 5-star reviews from the Apple Podcast app and voicemails on tomorrow's show. It is What the Fuck Wednesday, so make sure to submit your stories. That is a show that you plan. A couple people asked us last week how to do that. You can just DM us the story on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Hard Factor News, or Barstool News Network. We will find it. Most importantly, guys, have a great fucking day.
See you later, yeah!
Yeah, no, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay, now get out of here.
That's
right
a little
now.
Rough, right?